What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, down with the King topic of the day. And it was something that Evan Roberts, our colleague, spurned, where he was talking about college basketball versus the NBA and saying that the NBA is a far superior product to college basketball. That's what we started with a couple hours ago, BT. And I'm more in agreement with Evan than not. I know he got a lot of flack for it on social media. I'm not trying to defend him. He can obviously do that himself coming up at 2 o'clock. But I think it is a fascinating conversation and one that I gave some thought to last night while I was watching the Knicks. And I'm not a huge fan of today's NBA, but I don't think there's any comparison as far as the quality of the product, college basketball to pros.
There's none. No, I think if anybody leans or latches onto that part of the conversation to prop up the college game, I think they're a fool, because I think that's indisputable. You can't possibly lean on that as that the college game, that there's more talent. That's ludicrousville. But to me, and I've said this many times, I've hinted at this for a while, you know, and just saying it straight up, like if the Knicks ceased to exist, I don't think I'd care about the NBA at all. The NBA, and this is somebody who had Dominique posters and Jordan posters and Patrick posters and watched the Knicks since on Channel 9 going back to Marv Albert and even Butch Beard back in the day when he was doing the cut, like early Bernard King. I have watched as much Nick Band as anybody my age. If you took the percentage of Nick games since I was probably 7, where you could actually remember what you were watching, maybe 6, I don't know that there's anybody who's 51 that's watched more Nick games than me. I really believe that. But it's waned, not the Knicks, the general appreciation for the NBA, really for a couple of reasons. The style stinks, too many threes, an indifference to defense. There's no more coaches. The personalities of the coaches aren't there anymore. The coaches that do have personalities preach about some things off the court that some people don't want to hear. The regular season's irrelevant. And I think one of the bigger issues, Sal, and this I will grant, and I don't think they have good leadership. I think Silver's an atrocious commissioner. He couldn't shine David Stern's shoes. I think Adam Silver is a soft, toothless commissioner. I think he stinks. But I also I think he's awful. I do. I think he's soft. Yeah. I think he's doing a lot of damage to the NBA. But I also think that, you know, when you look at the what's attractive about the NBA, like there was always, you know, in their prime, absolute household recognizable stars, the Jordans, some of the names I mentioned, LeBron's iconic, Steph's iconic, they're old, man, and they're still very, very good, but that doesn't move the needle for me anymore. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, phenomenal, great, could have played in the 80s or 90s. He's on OKC, and you don't see him that much. Like, you just don't have the brand recognition. There's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I just for me. Like me personally with the NBA, I don't care about the OKC Thunder taking on the Mavericks. Like, when I used to be into the NBA and NBC, all that stuff, even if it were not the Knicks. So I'm with you there, and I don't like the style of play. Too many three-point shots, no defense, no energy and effort until the postseason. Mm-hmm. Wake me up in the playoffs. But the college basketball product, and now I pay attention to it once, and I'm not just talking about just this year, but I've been paying more attention to it earlier this year because of St. John's and their success, but I'll get into it more so at the Big East tournament. I think a big game tonight, like, even though I like the NBA better as a product than I do college basketball, tonight's St. John's game is bigger to me than the Knicks game. So I would prefer to watch St. John's if not watching both at the same time, but whatever. Point is, the college game is not a very good product in itself. Like, St. John's is one of the best teams in the country right now. They can't shoot. And it's not just them. Going back years in the tournament, watching kids miss these free throws left and right, I just don't think I know that the talent is not anywhere near it as it is at the pros, and I like the half-court game better. I like the passion and storylines of college basketball and innocence, or at least that in my mind, innocence of it.
Yeah.
I liked all that stuff, but you actually watch the game. And I'm going to do more homework on this. I want to really sit back and watch just a no-frills college basketball matchup with no rooting interest, meaning outside of St. John's, and the same thing with the Knicks. Outside of the Knicks, and watch a regular, meaningless NBA matchup and see which game, just by the purity of the sport, the actual game, I enjoy more. But without doing that due diligence on it, like extra homework, it's the NBA.
Don't get me wrong. If you flip on the wrong college game, some of it's absolutely horrendous. And again, I'm not picking on them. I said this earlier because I've got great respect for their program and their history. They've got to get some money in the NIL to get back to being really competitive. I feel very badly for Shaheen Holloway. I think he's an excellent coach. But if you watch like Seton Hall, DePaul, I mean, you're probably never going to watch another college basketball game. Like, there's certain games that are just really bad. And by the way, many of what I just said apply to St. John's for many years. I just happened to get paid doing the games, and I have an affinity for the program because I grew up a St. John's fan. I would rather, this will crystallize where I'm coming from, so it's not just a St. John's thing. If I'm flipping, right, and I flip every night. You know, eventually I settle on politics, and that's how I fall asleep. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm flipping around. I go to Sports Night, which I love. I think you guys do a great job. I always watch SNY, always. I don't really watch ESPN at all anymore. Go to MLB Network, go to NFL Network, Golf Channel, and then politics, right? But if I'm bouncing around channels and I see, say, St. Mary's from California, which is a good pro, the Gales, really good program, right? And they're playing, they don't have to be playing Gonzaga. Pepperdine, I don't know, I'm just throwing out a team. Or even a team like the Denver Nuggets and, say, the Memphis Grizzlies, I'm watching St. Mary's. I just appreciate it more.
Yeah, is it because you care about it more?
I don't care about St. Mary's. Like, they don't.
But the college game, you care more about it?
I don't know that was always true. I think it's become true.
Right. Well,
it's become more true.
But I'm saying it's not because necessarily is it a better product versus the better product, or because you personally care more?
That is the money question.
Right.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think I care more about the college game because I've long recognized now that the NBA is broken and they don't seem to be in a position or have any urgency to fix it. And while I certainly grant you there's a lot of flaws with the college game, kids going from college to college and whatever, too many threes as well. Kids can't shoot as much. Teams shooting 65% from the free throw line. That's gross. That should never happen. But at least they're still chasing something. And the chase is real. I always use the analogy, rich Rocky or poor Rocky.
Right.
Which one had more heart?
Poor Rocky. Yeah,
which one had more soul?
Yeah,
which one had more grit? You know what I mean? I know you appreciate the analogy.
Well, and also just to give you my personal experience with it before we get back to the calls here and continue the conversation with you guys, 888-808-1019. Remember, I did Columbia games for a long time.
Right. You and Jerry
did
it,
and me and Lance Meadow did it for a long time.
Okay.
So I loved the Ivy League. I grew to love it, going to the different campuses in Dartmouth and Harvard. But I would never, and I became obsessed with it and seeing which Ivy League team would get in the tournament. And now, obviously, they've evolved where they have their own in-league tournament. It was always, the Ivy League was on the outside looking
in. Yeah, regular season.
Winner of the league would get in, but now they have their Ivy League tournament, which is fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. But I would never say that it would be on par. Now, I know it's the Ivy League, and that's not on par with the Big East.
I appreciate that almost more with those young men and women are juggling.
But I'm saying, like, as far as the product goes.
Yeah.
But I would never say, like, it's a better product or comparable to the NBA. So that's why I just think when you're looking at the college game, I think it's actually a no-brainer. And we don't disagree in that regard, the skill level of NBA players versus college players.
Nothing to debate there.
It's either the... You're going with the higher skill versus the higher higher competition, right?
The higher urgency,
higher passion,
the higher investment,
higher effort.
You know what I prefer.
Yeah, and for me, even though I respect the higher effort and passion and all that stuff more, I still think the disparity is so great that I would side with the NBA with the talent.
I just want to make sure I didn't add this earlier, but this is important to me. Like, and I've said a few times, like, you guys know I love the Knicks, but I think the Knicks are a little flawed. We'll talk about them deeper. I like the win last night. Deeper cover. Brunson wasn't good. Cat was great. Okay, fantastic. But I do appreciate the way these Knicks play. Like, my dissatisfaction with, even though they're not quite the defensive team that they were, and I don't think that they're the team that we hoped that they would be, nor do I think they'll necessarily get there this year, I do appreciate the way the Knicks play. At least they play with purpose and pride and professionalism. Now, they're a little flawed just based on their people right now.
But it's not a lack of effort.
It's not a lack of effort. It's not a lack of attention to detail or respect for the game.
And that's because of Tibbs and the groundwork that he laid when he
got here. For sure,
for sure. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is calling from Shelton, Connecticut. What's up, John?
BT and Sal, I'm very glad that you guys are having this conversation about NBA versus college because it's been on my mind for a while. I'm a big fan of college basketball. I think it's a better product than the NBA, and here's why. One, the environments are so much better. I mean, the crowds are way more into it. Just the more fun environment. Obviously, every game matters more because there's a lot less games in college, so the players are, you know, full effort every night. Nobody's taking nights off. There's no, you know, rest. They're not playing, obviously, as much, but there's no rest. And it just resembles basketball a lot more than the NBA. Like, I'm a coach in a middle school level. It resembles the basketball that we played in school, that we play in men's league. It's organized. They're running sets and plays and schemes. And it's like the NBA players have gotten too good for the actual game, that their talent changes the way they play. They're shooting threes. They're dunking over people. The athleticism is ridiculous. It changes the game. And for a true basketball, and I know you are a true basketball fan, BT, it's a better product to watch night in and night out than the NBA game.
I agree with you. You know, it's funny you say that, John. Thanks for the call. So, Sal, you know I coach a travel team, right? Yep. Not to get into that, but along the lines of what John just said. So, you know, you have, for those of you who do this, you know, the game changer, some sort of digital connection to the parents, obviously. So it's not like the old school, you got to write it on a calendar. Everybody knows when practice is, where the location is. Hoff, you go through this with your kid, you know about this stuff, whether it's team snap, game changer, whatever. I prefer game changer. I think it's the best. And that's what I use for baseball and basketball. And I'll message the parents like, hey, we're looking to get, you know, gym time this night, or hey, with playoff schedules coming out now. But keep an eye out for it. The other thing, and I've done this at least three or four times this year, like if there's a little intermittent break, like we start in December, then we have a little time off for the holidays, which I hate. You just kind of get out of rhythm. And there's like, even now, like February break, we've had a little lengthier delay than usual. I text the parents, and I don't know if all of them do this, but I say, hey, listen, you know, keep a ball in the kids' hands if you can, even if it's just dribbling in the garage, whatever. I know it's cold out and there's snow on the ground. But, and also, you know, flip on a basketball game, preferably college. I always preferably college. You know, let them see how they get back on defense. Let them see how they get through screens. Let them see how they box out. There's just more attention to detail. And, yeah, that's kind of what John's saying, too. And really, now, I'm not into the women's game. Like, Caitlin Clark's phenomenal. That was great last year, and she's great, and these women are amazing. I don't watch it that much, but when I do, I almost prefer that more than a lot of the NBA stuff that I'm seeing because it's more reflective of basketball.
Okay, John brought up something that made me think about it here. He brought up the atmosphere, right, which in college basketball he favored.
Yep.
What if I give you three, and if I'm missing something obvious, edit, and we'll do a NBA versus college basketball, like a chart here.
All right, go for it. What you got?
Okay, first, atmosphere. NBA games, your typical NBA game, or your typical college basketball
college
game. Okay, me too. I would go with college on that one. Check on that side.
Yep.
Number two, effort/competition. I wanted to put them kind of in the same.
But they're not necessarily the same because the competition could be higher in the NBA, where I think that the effort is certainly higher in college. Well, I'll still say college.
How would you? Well, why would you separate them?
I think they're different things. Like because I think the college kids certainly give more effort, but I think the level of competition is much higher in the NBA. So it's almost a contradiction.
So then you can make it
a separate category.
Like for me, the effort leads to the competition, and I'm not sure that the NBA clearly does not give max effort or max competition or compete level. Night in, night out.
Okay, so if you're going to go under like that, then I'm still saying college.
Me too. Okay. I would actually favor college as well on that one.
Okay.
Then the third one, quality of play / talent.
Quality NBA.
Yeah, and me too, by far. Now, is there anything that I'm missing out? Now, I know I combined kind of two things, but I thought that
How about storylines?
I thought that they were similar. Yeah, but I think storylines is too, that's subjective.
That's true.
I don't know if the other ones are necessarily,
that's
right?
You could prefer
the St. John's storyline and somebody else can prefer the Knicks or whatever.
Well, I think the venue, I think actually they're all subjective. I just think that There's an element of subjectivity to all those. I just think the last one is more subjective.
Okay,
so I'm with
enough.
You on that.
Is there anything else that you would add to that?
Give me the top three again. So the ambiance, atmosphere.
Effort slash competition level.
Effort, comp.
Yeah, I mean, again,
and
you
what was the third one?
Talent and quality of play.
Talent, quality of play. How about, I'm going to give you one.
Yeah.
Coaching.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that, but
college.
I didn't put it on there.
It's coaching.
Now, but isn't that, like, what makes you say college is better coaching?
I'm going to tell you why. Rick Pitino, now I know Rick is also, in my opinion, the best of all time.
Yeah, like you could pick out a handful and say, all right, well, are the best college basketball coaches better than the best NBA coaches?
Well, I can't prove that, but I'll just give you a thought or a theory. So Rick Pitino walks into St. John's, which has been, you know, and I mean, coming in last year, obviously, but this is year two. And we all know what Rick does in year two with all his various stops. Rick has elevated a lifeless, basically moribund program this entire century to a top 10 ranking. You could take, you have Greg Popovich without Tim Duncan. I know who he's got now, trust me. But without Duncan, Ginobili, Avery Johnson, David Robinson, and he's winning nothing. Nothing.
What league do you think?
Well,
you think it's harder to coach in the NBA or college? Because I would say NBA with these players now making their millions.
Do I think it's harder to coach? I think that's also a loaded question. I think on some levels more. There's 50 more games in the NBA, so that alone makes it harder. There's more volume of games.
I just meant more like getting your team to buy in.
And the other thing you don't have to deal with in the NBA is guys bouncing every year.
Yeah.
Where in the portal, not only do you have to go and get kids from other schools,
that's
but you got to keep kids who are here and convince them to stay.
The portal adds a different element. I wasn't thinking of that. You're right.
It is
more challenging.
It's easier if you've got the money, which St. John's and some other schools do. Now they do. I think that I think it is easier to turn around an average to a bad college team with the right coach than it is an NBA team. I feel very strongly about that.
So back to my original point. Let's just go off of those three for a second and leave coaching out, right? Both you and I agreed, atmosphere, college, effort slash competition night in, night out.
College,
talent slash quality of play.
NBA.
Okay.
Two out of three.
Right. We both agree on that.
Yep.
Where we disagree is I will take that one that's in favor of the NBA and value that more than the other two. Even though it hurts me at my core to say, like, sport is at its core, based off of competition.
Yep.
It's the number one thing that you need to have. It's what drives me nuts about sports today, where I don't feel it's competitive enough. Baseball, football, whatever. These guys are buddies with each other. Some sports worse than others. These guys are buddies with each other. They're not playing max effort every night. They're hurt. They got boo-boos. Like, the competition of it. That's why I love Boone so much. You can tell that he's a competitor.
Even
in our card game.
He is.
I love that. I love the competition. I want competitors out there.
Uh-huh.
So I love that and value that. But I think the difference in talent slash quality of play in the NBA is far greater that I'd side with that, even if it's by a little bit.
I think, listen, by the way, you're not alone. I think I'd love to know if there was a real number. Like, I feel like more people are gravitating to the, but also St. John's fans are a little bit pumped up now, so maybe that's kind of flowing or you know, diluting the other part of the conversation, like maybe favoring college more. I don't know. I know this, though. I will deal with the inefficiency in college that is more visible than in the NBA. I grant you that for sure. I will deal with that than guys in the NBA taking competition and...
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things. like by a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hard work too often for granted. Yep.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Remember, we were talking about pitchers and catchers and the Mets six-man rotation and all the different lineups that they had. Hoff followed up, BT. So take a guess. I do not know the number here.
Okay.
Remember, we said the Mets had, what did you say?
142?
143.
They had 143. Yeah. And I will just give you, I just want to give you a little bit of other hints here, Tampa.
Different lineups, just to
Tampa
clarify.
Tampa Bay Rays from last year, 144. Last year, the Orioles, 144. Let's see who else we got. Oakland, 143.
Okay, so of 162 games, these teams are changing lineups, 144 roughly of those. What do you think your Yankees did?
Well, based on what he just said, I'm going to go higher than I probably would have said. It just seems like that's more of a theme, even though I guess we knew it, but we didn't substantiate it with a stat, if you know what I mean. I would have to say the Yankees, let's see. First base was a revolving door. I'm just doing this real fast. I won't take too long.
Remember the one in the Subway Series with J.D. Davis hitting fourth?
Yeah, of course. And the other Jax Jones, whatever that dude's name was.
Jermaine Jones.
103.
I will go. Jeez. I mean, I was going to get 20 for the Mets. So I was way off. Then I guess 50, which was even way off. I'm still going to go fewer than. Yeah, I mean, definitely fewer than the 144. Injuries.
Stanton was hurt.
I'll go in the 90. I'll go 90, 91.
106.
Okay, yeah, you know,
split
right
the
there,
difference
BJ,
just about. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny, too, because now that the other teams are, and there's, what, four or five teams that are in that 142, 143. And
basically, the Dodgers were 130-ish.
Who had the fewest? Do you have the
yeah, good question.
So far, the Yankees are the fewest I've seen.
Stability, that's my franchise.
Where are you looking that up? Is it on Baseball
it's
Reference?
It's on Baseball Reference. It's all the way on the
is
bottom.
Is it really?
Are we sure the accuracy of this?
I mean, if it's like Wikipedia, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll start the column yesterday. Golden sombrero, full whiffs.
It is, dude, I wouldn't even give it much thought.
Yeah.
But, like, we talked about it, and the reason why we're talking about it is because if the Mets go with a six-man rotation, well, what does that do for your roster spot? Meaning that you can't be, tied down with a guy like J.D. Martinez who could only DH. It doesn't make sense to use a roster spot on a guy that can't do anything else. And really, it's not just about the Mets. It's in general how you would build the team out, which then got us to the, you know, the different variations of lineups and the flexibility or versatility of these rosters nowadays. It is, like, I would never even give it thought how many. But, God, 144 different lineups roughly in 162 games?
Well, here's what it makes me think about. Now, let's take the Mets because that was the first one, 143, 144. Yeah. What do you think is the more impressive accomplishment from a managerial perspective. Now, I don't know the number for, say, the 86 Mets, but I guarantee it wasn't 143.
Look that up, actually? That's BT,
I'd love to know that.
Roughly just pick a year. If you want to pick the 86 Mets, that's fine with me.
I'm going to say 70 or 80.
Remember, too, because Davey Johnson was ahead of the curve with, like, the platooning and all that stuff.
No doubt.
Back then. But I'd love to know, like, a lineup in the 80s or 90s versus...
Look up the Mets there. Yeah. Because to me, even though Davey won the championship and Mendoza did not, but... if you've got to come up with 143 different lineup iterations compared to what I would guarantee is a lower number for the New York Mets back in 86, you tell me what's the tougher job.
All right. Yeah. There's two numbers here, by the way.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the NL,
the pitchers without taking out the pitchers.
Oh, right.
Do you want to take a guess on this?
Can you
59.
I have two numbers. 59, you said? And
yeah.
What's your sound?
Well, what do you mean? Why do you have two different numbers?
Well, because the pitchers are always changing.
Dwight Gooden, Ron Darling,
right,
so that's just going to be a lot of different lineups anyway.
I actually have the actual number.
Without the pitchers?
Without the pitchers
changing.
Okay,
that's what we want to hear.
Yeah, I'm going to go 30.
93.
What? That many?
143 with the pitchers.
What?
Okay.
What about, give me another team that maybe will, because remember, Davey was ahead of the analytics is what I meant to say before with the platooning and all that
Look
stuff.
Look at the Cardinals. They had the same crew, Tommy Herr, Jack Clark.
From 86?
Yeah. Lonnie Smith. Kenny Obergfell.
Yeah,
whatever.
Do that first, and then be curious the 99 Mets. Like, I remember it was basically the same lineup every day.
You it wasn't. I guarantee if you look, I know we're just making them look up everything, but I guarantee if you look up the 99 Mets, it's going to be a high number as well. So He'll look it up. Because think about this, Sal. That number stuns me with those 86 Mets because Keith played every day.
Right.
We know about second base with Tuffle and Backman. Rafael Santana played every day.
Yeah.
He was your shortstop. Elster came later and like September Cola. Same with Maggot and played
a few
games at first.
A little bit of short, no? I think he did play a little.
Maybe a minute or two. But you had third base. You had Hojo and Ray Knight. I mean, Gary was a rock behind the plate. And I think, was that Ed Hearn or Barry
the
Lyons to
the
back
difference
up?
Like Dykstra. So like even
Dykstra, Mookie.
But even that one switch or two platoons, Tuffle and Backman, Dykstra, Mookie, that could alter the different
it
lineups.
Could, but those guys always hit in the same spot. If Mookie played, Mookie batted first. If Lenny played, Lenny batted first.
So the Cardinals in 86, 106.
Jesus.
Now, I looked up the 99 Mets.
Yes.
I think
it's
going to
be high. Yeah. Guaranteed it's high.
What do you think?
120?
I'm going under it.
Higher. Whatever he says, I'm going
under
higher.
Under 90.
76.
Okay.
Wow, look
Thankfully,
at you.
At least. I mean, even that's more than what I thought, but...
wow. Olerud, Fonzie.
Bobby, what about 2000 Mets? You have that? This is when he was penciling in basically the same
lineup.
Yeah, you'd go to the ballpark. You knew where you... now, remember, too.
Ordonez.
And by the way, Hoff, is that 75 with pitchers or...
That's without pitchers.
That's without.
With pitchers was like 116.
Yeah, okay. No, I want the without numbers.
Wow.
But remember, I mean, Bobby V, Piazza would be out of the lineup a little bit because you want to give him a rest. He was a big,
was that Todd Pratt? Am I getting those years mixed up with his book?
Yeah, no, 99, that's accurate.
Yeah.
All right, so at least we're getting somewhere there with that. That is.
Well, you know, let's find out about an actual champion. How about, shall we say, I don't know, the 2000 Yankees I'd like to get there.
Or 96, any of those teams.
The 2000 Mets were 118.
2000 Mets were 118. That doesn't surprise me. Okay. What were the 2000 Yankees?
99 Mets, which was a great offense.
Yeah, that was a good team.
I'm going to hit you with one more that I'm curious after
this
the
very
Yankee
interesting.
One.
Yeah. 2000.
So you want 2000?
2000 Yankees.
Hold on one second.
And then, I know I'm putting you on this joyride, but then I want you to compare.
It's a very joyful ride for me right now.
The 2000 Yankees, and then I do want the 85 Yankees with Mattingly, Ricky, Willie Randolph, that Winfield. That was a set lineup.
What year was that?
85
Yankees.
Okay. So 2000, what do you think for the Yankees?
I think it was actually fairly high. A lot of left fielders. 110?
111.
Whoa! I know my Yankees, baby!
Almost on the button. Okay. Oh, jeez. Here we go. All right, what are you looking at?
85 Yankees, real quick.
And then I have
85 Yankees.
I have one last Mets one that I'm curious.
I can't wait.
85 Yankees. Yeah. What about the 62 Mets?
No, one last Mets.
By the way, I've gotten all these wrong. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, right.
I would be so pissed at you if you actually had all these. 85 Yankees. Now,
check the accuracy for yourselves out there.
It has to be. Well, Ricky was a little bit banged up. Ricky... then Randolph, then Mattingly, then Winfield, then like Jack Clark, then like Pagliarulo. You had a lot of the guys who played almost every day. I'm going to say the Yankees were under 110 that year.
Sal, you want to guess?
No, 90s. I would go lower.
90s.
It's 101.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right, so last one, because it's relevant to me, because it's the best Mets lineup that they've had.
69?
No, 2006. 2006. That's their best lineup. I think today's lineup is at least... comparable to that, the best one since 2006.
Okay.
So I'd be curious how many different lineups Willie trotted out there in 06.
All love right. Willie.
2006, you want to take a guess here?
I'm going to go under 100.
Beltran, Wright, Reyes. Reyes was a little bit banged up that year. I know he was always banged up, but I think he was healthy that year.
Reyes, what was it? Reyes, Beltran. No, it was Reyes,
Cliff
Leduca.
Floyd.
I think Leduca was in the two. Reyes, Leduca, probably Beltran, Delgado, Wright.
What about Cliff Floyd? Cliff Floyd was there, right? Was he still there in 06?
Yes, he was.
I thought he was. Okay.
Yeah, he was more prominent than 05.
101.
Okay. All right. I mean, still, that's almost seem. Man, wow. You know, what's crazy
that
is like.
That is interesting stuff.
The fact that you would go. Now, 40 games is a pretty big difference, like meaning that today's average, it seems, is like 140-ish.
Yes.
Different lineups versus 100, let's say, 20 years ago. But that's still a high number then. How much higher can you go? The data that they punch out now, like, what are you going to have a different lineup every freaking day?
You shouldn't.
You almost do, though.
Yeah.
You're talking about a 20-game difference.
I know.
There were 20 games that had the same lineup. That's absurd.
But, Sal, how much of that is out of necessity? How much out of that? Let's get this guy a day off. So let's get Judge off his feet and DH him. Let's get Stanton off his feet. Let's rest the catcher.
And
let's,
by the way,
you know what I mean? Like
the Mets also, they did that, the 144, whatever Hofstadter was, 143, with two guys who play every day with Lindor and Alonso. Like, it's not even like these guys are playing 120 games. They're playing 160 games.
That's true. Yeah. Nemo play every day last year. I know he was a little bit banged up. He was banged up a little bit last year.
Yeah, I think he was banged up a little bit. Yeah. I forget how many games. Anyway. All right, let's get back to the phones here. We're talking about the six-man rotation. Dino is in Bayside, Queens. What's up, Dino?
Hey, guys. What's up? How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a quick point that as far as the six-man rotation, look at Nolan Ryan, the last no-hitter he threw. How many pitches did he throw in that game? Big Goose Gossage coming out of the pen for the Yankees, number big 54. How many innings did he throw? And now everybody gets babied. One inning. I mean, it's like ridiculous.
Well, and Dino, you seem to know this. You said, I don't know that you're older, but, you know, Goose came up as a starter with the White Sox. You know that. He was a starting pitcher.
I know. That's where we got it from. But when he came out of that pen, my friend, he would throw right down your throat.
I know he would.
That was baseball. Now with analytics, it's this, it's one inning, he's done. Come on.
Dino, listen, do whatever you want. I love the call. Thank you. I still think the game of baseball is amazing. Like, there are things about baseball that bother me, but think about the conversation to start the show. College versus the NBA, basketball.
I don't even think it's close.
I feel like basketball's fallen off much more than baseball.
Yeah, I think football, too, to a certain
extent. Me, too.
We talked about that with the lack of defense or just the lack of crispness that you see week in, week
tackling.
Out. Baseball's changed, but I don't think pitchers aren't the way that they used to be. There's more of them that are getting used now. And maybe you want to say the caliber's not there. But still, the quality of play, for the most part, to me, has not had that drop-off that I feel in the other sports.
I think it's a lot more athletic than it's ever been. You got middle infielders basically all over the diamond. Who can't run? Who can't move? Well, I mean, everybody can move in baseball.
The analytics got us toward the Joey Gallo types.
But Joey can run, and Joey can field. That was struck out a lot, but Joey was an athlete.
Yeah, when baseball, when you're watching it a lot with the strikeouts, and now, again, they're putting an emphasis on putting the ball back in play.
Which I love.
So it's a lot better. So maybe it's back on the upswing now. Maybe we had this conversation 3 years ago even. We're having a different conversation about not liking the sport where it's at, where it's all or nothing.
You might be right.
I couldn't stand home run or strikeout.
Slower pace, no pitch clock back then. Yeah, you might be right.
Now it's picked it up a little bit.
Yeah, and that's why I say that the NBA has an awful commissioner. And I don't think Manfred's great, but the NBA is doing nothing to fix their game, but at least baseball's trying some stuff.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More of the conversation, whether it's the baseball stuff, the college basketball versus the NBA. We didn't really do some Knicks, BT. We can maybe get more into that coming up at 1 o'clock, but we got a lot to get to here. BT and Sal on the Fan. Did you see? I know you did see it, BT, but we didn't really discuss it. And I have a lot to say about this. Did you see John Rocker and Patrick Mahomes?
I did. John's still tweeting about it, by the way. Yeah, I saw it.
Still going, this guy?
About 10 hours ago. He's still calling him out.
Let me tell you something. I hated John Rocker with every fiber of my being. And then I forgot he existed until last night. Like, I totally forgot.
Me too.
I actually got into it with him. He's such a jerk. Good for Patrick Mahomes Sr. I can't even believe people are taking the other side of this. Now, I don't know what happened. Did you see?
I saw the whole video.
Okay, so we saw the video, and it looked like Rocker was like, I don't know, kind of being his normal doofy, jerky self.
That's not my interpretation. That was not my interpretation.
What did you think was happening?
I thought, yeah, listen, he's probably a little buzzed, had a beer in his hand,
Rocker,
I'm sure. And Mahomes was smoking something. I don't know. Well, you know, I'm sure he had a drink in his hand or was at a bar. Mm. It was outside of a bar, so who knows? But I thought that Rocker approached him more like in a jovial way, like, oh, what's going on, man? Now, I don't think that he was like basically said, ah, oh, your son sucked ass tonight, or, you know, your son got his face kicked in.
He might have said something like that.
I don't think so, because you could see John's personality change from, again, jovial and then rage. Like, he didn't enter, watch it again, he didn't enter that.
No,
that,
I saw it a couple
that
times.
That little relationship going in as aggressive as he became at all.
John Rocker, when he was at his peak, had his most hated, passionate, nasty rivalry with who?
The Mets.
Okay. Patrick Mahomes was a Met. Pat Mahomes was a Met. Yeah. 99 and 2000. Uh-huh. I remember loving him as a reliever. Before his son was even a thought in anybody's mind, I love Pat Mahomes as a reliever. He was good for the Mets. He was a gamer in a big spot. So Rocker was a villain. He ripped people in New York. Subway,
oh, God,
like,
yeah.
Clearly racist
about people
stuff.
With AIDS and the subway.
I mean, as nasty
Absolutely.
And vile comments you can make.
Yep.
So now he's approaching a 99/2000 Met in Pat Mahomes. What do you think is going to be the reception? Like, if John Rocker came to me and said something, I'd be like, Rocker, like, I'd still have that hostility 25-plus years later. So I could imagine Pat Mahomes, a member of those Mets teams, feeling that way. I don't know exactly what was said. You know, we know Pat Mahomes, unfortunately, has had some issues, you know, with the Drake or whatever, DWI, I think it was, right? Okay, so it's not like he's been clean. But Rocker is just a... Like, bad words that I want to say that I can't say on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And I have no problem with Pat Mahomes handling things the way that he did. Basically, come on, get off me, bro. Leave me alone. Go bother somebody else, you goof.
Yeah, if that's what happened. I don't know. Now, it may have been the whole New York thing, and that was about as big of... Like, you think about, like, Reggie and Starks, or you think about some of the other villains on the New York, like, rivalry scene. John Rocker's comments about the train... And homosexuals and AIDS and poor people. Like, it was just one swift takedown that was absolutely repulsive. And I couldn't stand Rocker.
Right.
I haven't thought about Rocker since then either.
I
really haven't. But I did not think that he was necessarily the aggressor. I just want to make sure. I thought they played together for a year. And that's why I thought there was a more, like, familiar relationship.
Oh, that Rocker and Mahomes played together?
I thought so. What? Do you have Rocker's stats?
Yeah, I got him.
I don't care about his stats. But so Rocker, where did John Rocker play in 01? Where was he at that point?
He was Atlanta and Cleveland.
Okay.
And
what about
Mahomes was with Texas.
Texas. What about 02?
Texas.
What about 03?
Tampa Bay.
So they did
they
not.
They never played together. All right.
So now
where was Mahomes in... Where was Mahomes before the Mets? Mahomes was on the Twins.
He was like a bunch of teams.
I know. Go ahead. Give me the year.
I have only Rocker. Do you have Mahomes?
I have
Rocker.
I got Mahomes up right here. Mahomes.
No, wait. I have Mahomes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You have Rocker. My bad. I'm an idiot.
I got Mahomes. Right. So he was with Texas, Chicago, Pittsburgh after he left the Mets. Before that, he was with Boston and Minnesota.
Wait. And who do I have? I've got Mahomes.
Okay, so you
Patrick,
the same thing.
I've got
that
Patrick
I just
Mahomes.
He was
Kansas
with the Chiefs. Yeah.
And you have Rocker, right?
No, I have Mahomes.
I need Rocker.
I have Rocker.
That's my thought. Yeah.
What are we doing?
What the hell's
here?
Going on here?
Don't know.
I was actually right.
No, you weren't.
Oh well, I thought I was right. Yeah. Either way, let's make it right.
So put yourself. Okay, let's try to.
I'm
make
just
it
trying
right.
to go backwards. What other teams? Give me all the teams that
John Rocker played 98 to 2001 with Atlanta. He then transitioned to Cleveland in 2001.
Yep.
For the remainder of the season. In 2002, went to Texas. In 2003, Tampa Bay.
2002, went to Texas.
Right. Mahomes was with Chicago.
Mahomes was with Texas, though, in 2001. So is there a chance that...
No.
No. Some spring training or something.
Oh, maybe.
No, he went to...
I mean,
he was in Atlanta and Cleveland, not Texas.
I guess there's a chance. One is 2001.
Yeah.
The other is 2002.
I'm thinking spring training or whatever. I guess not.
So forget that for a second. Yep. Put yourself in Mahomes' shoes or pretend you were a 1999-2000 Met, right?
Yep.
How would you feel if John Rocker was approaching you?
Well, I don't think you have to be a Met to be turned off by his homophobia and his crassness and his disregard for a lot of people.
But even more so.
Yeah, it's more personal when you're a Met.
Okay, so he's approaching you. Like, I could tell you as a Met fan.
I got you.
So, now again, I don't know what was said. I'm not here to say that Pat Mahomes Sr. is a great dude.
I got you.
I loved him as a player. I respect that he wouldn't want anything to do with John Rocker based off of living through it more so than your average ball player, because he was a Met. at the times that Rocker was at his peak villain.
Me too.
Against the team.
When you lay it out like that, I hear you.
And he aggressively approached him. Whether
I didn't think he aggressively approached him.
Well, he did approach him in an aggressive manner. Whether it was with ill intent or not, I don't know. I don't think that they were. It wasn't like he was looking to fight him.
I think it was more like, oh, Pat, what's up, man? Yeah. And like you just, and then because you see Rocker totally, like the switch flips. He's like, what? And then he's like, F you. I don't think he went in there aggressively.
He's an angry...
Yes, he is. No, I think there's something wrong with Rocker.
And he's been the same way for 25 years. Whatever. Dude, so my story, I don't know if I've told you this. I might have. At Shea Stadium, before John Rocker had those nasty, vile comments that he said. This was before that.
Mm-hmm.
So I hated him before everybody hated him. I was getting on him because I hated him because he was good and because he was loud and in your face about it. I just was...
So cocky.
I despised him.
Uh-huh.
I was in... Now, remember, Shea Stadium used to be able to go like by the left field and right field corners, mm-hmm. and this took place in the left field corner by the Braves' bullpen.
Okay.
Before a game...
I sat out there. I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Like, you know how you can walk beyond the foul pole and be in fair territory?
Yes.
For only a short little...
Not many feet. Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Where Piazza hit that laser. Okay, so there's not many feet between the orange foul pole and whatever.
Huh?
So I was there, and there's netting there that you can't, that like blocks off the stands. I went out there specifically.
How old are you?
Well, it's 1999 or 2000, one of those 2 years. I want to say 99 because it was before those vile comments. So I want to say
21.
I was born in 79, so I was about 20 years old.
All right, good age. All right, you're not a kid, but you're not a full fledged adult. So we'll give you a little wiggle room if you act like a knucklehead.
And this is me taking. This is now like trying to take some control, right? Like I couldn't do anything about it watching him on TV, go to the ballpark. I'm going to let this guy know how much I can't stand him.
No, I respect it so far.
And I was just getting on, not like nasty stuff, but like, who do you think you are? Blah, 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 whatever.
Standing up for New York.
He's going, hey, hey. He goes, hey. And he starts looking at me, pointing at me, hey, you. I'm like, yeah. And I'm whatever, getting on. I'm just like heckling Rocker. And he starts mouthing off and calling me fat or whatever. What's Jane? I was overweight. But he's getting nasty now. He's getting nasty now with a fan. And he was throwing. He then started to throw balls at me.
At the net?
Yeah, because I couldn't catch him. Couldn't do it. He was throwing, like taunting me with that. And it became a little bit of a scene there at Shea back in the day.
Security, but, we got an issue. Yeah,
I didn't get in any trouble. But but again, the reason why I emphasize the story is because it was before, like it. That was before he got exposed for the personality that he was. Think about you as a player. You're a big league player. You should be able to take some fan, some 20-year-old fan, getting on you.
Yeah.
He couldn't. He was sensitive to it and started going at me and then to a point where he's throwing the ball at me, even against the netting. And then obviously, like, he just was out of control is the whole point of this story. And he's never changed 25 years later.
He's still yoked, man. He is a truck.
Oh, just to go full circle here, there was another team that Patrick Mahomes did play for in 2002.
Yeah.
The Iowa Cubs. So they did not have a connection.
Thank you, Huff.
What year was that?
2002.
Are we sure Rocker wasn't in
there? I don't know. Maybe Rocker had a minor league rehab assignment with the Braves and they crossed paths on the minor league AAA fields. Don't rule it out, Huff.
Don't you think,
the research. Don't say it's not possible.
BT, I would bet you that the majority of people who were commenting on that video and incident weren't aware of the significance of Mahomes being a Met at that time versus Rocker.
Now, that's an interesting thought because I read a lot of the comments, and a lot of it was like pro-Rocker.
Right.
Now, how much of that has to do with...
How can you be pro-Rocker in anything? Like,
I hear you. I get that.
I'm not talking about political stuff.
I got you. Like,
yeah.
No, I understand. I think a lot of it is a lack of awareness. I mean, social media skews younger.
Right.
That story about John Rocker is basically almost 25 years ago.
Right.
So if you're 20 years old or 25 or 30, you don't really know about it.
You don't even know who either guy is.
You don't even know who he is necessarily.
Yeah, exactly,
you know, you know who Mahomes is because it's Patrick's dad.
That's exactly right.
You don't know who Rocker is except this loudmouth, looks like he's juiced up nutball who's looking to probably start trouble. I also think there's a little Kansas City Chiefs fatigue. I think there's a lot of people who look at Patrick's brother and they're like, look at this cornball doing his stupid stuff on TikTok. What a loser. I think you just get a complete cross-section of, I think both are, I don't want to say that Patrick Mahomes Sr. is unlikable. I'm not going to say that.
Right.
I think Rocker's unlikable. But I think that Patrick becomes unlikable either out of jealousy or some of the reason that I just mentioned.
Correct. Not even of his own doing.
No, not necessarily.
Whereas Rocker, it's all his own doing. And Mahomes, I thought, had the best tweet. I didn't see all of them last night as they were going back and forth, but he said basically...
Oh, there's some doozies.
He said basically this guy hasn't cheated in 25 years, which is, to me, that just sums
and
it up.
Then Rocker subtweeted and said, yeah, I wish you would have said that the other night. I would have laid you out. That's exactly what he wrote. I'm just saying what he wrote.
Tough talk, Rocker.
Oh, Rocker would have wrecked
the dude. Picking on a 20-year-old who's getting on you. Hey, Johnny boy, I'm 45. And I'm here. Let's go, big boy.
Yeah,
I really don't want any part of it.
Rocker would have destroyed Mahomes' dad in 1 second.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
No, it doesn't mean anything. I wouldn't want to see it.
He destroyed me too, but verbally I'd take him down.
Yeah, one question for clarity about this incident that you had with Rocker.
Yeah.
So was he, it's one of two things.
I might not have even started it. Like, remember, it's over 20 years ago, so I forget the exact details of it.
Yeah.
You got the gist of it, but he may have even, like, I might have just, you know, got on a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he might have started throwing or calling me fat, and then I started.
He hit the nerve.
I threw maybe a little jab, and then he came in with an uppercut, and now it's on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny, two things just jumped in my head. One is back then the access that we could get at these stadiums. I remember, and I won't go too deeply because I know we got to move on, but I remember, you know, I used to dip. This is when I'm playing ball, right? And I've left my tin at home, and I'm at the Mets game with a couple of my buddies, Jimmy, and like a few other guys. And
hey,
like,
Lenny, you got a dip?
Yeah, I got a dip from Matt Williams. I swear to God, I actually walked down. I saw the tin in his pocket. And I'm like, you know, and I was probably 19. Right. I guess I looked a little like a ballplayer. I don't know. I was being respectful. I'm like, Matt. And he's like, yo. And he just looked at me like very, very nice. I'm like, you got an extra pinch? He's like, yeah. Takes the tin out of his back pocket. Swear to God. Takes it out of his back pocket, flips it to me. I pack it. I take a dip. I give it back to him. So that
great
was just a
story,
quick
story, BT.
Oh, you guys suck. Anybody else on the station have that story? Yeah. The answer is no. So you can stick that story up your ass is what you can do, voice guy. Number one. Number two. Here's what I need to know. When he's throwing the ball, that 20-year-old chubby Sal.
Yeah.
Is he throwing it at you to taunt you like, ha-ha, you can't get a souvenir? Or is he trying to hurt you with the ball?
No, I think more ha-ha, like, he couldn't hurt me because there was a net in there.
If you're pressed up against the net, it's not a brick wall, maybe. It's a net. If it hits you in the face, it's like getting rocked clean.
Maybe. I mean, there's a possibility of that, although I easily just moved back. Like, I took it more of like he was taunting.
I got you.
But maybe a little bit of both.
I got you.
Never
I wish we had a camera on both of those. So just imagine seeing me at 19 doing that and you at 20 doing that. God.
You getting a dip from Jesus. Matt Williams, me getting into it with John Rock.